Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name is Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime, coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
I've never spat my drink over someone before. That is a drunk women first.
I think he had a lovely death though.
Yeah.
Professionally, as detectives, we can't rule anything out.
No.
We came for my son's birthday. And whilst we had a marvellous time in many respects, his untimely demise somewhat ruined the trip.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to the first Drunk Women Solving Crime of 2019!
Yay! Happy New Year!
It's the first of 2019 and the second of the night. So, strap in. Today we are joined by the brilliant stand-up comedian, actress, writer and co-host of the Fingers on Butters podcast, it's Lucy Porter!
Yay! Yay! For me, I am amazing. That's the level of drunk I'm at now. A little bit pleased with myself. That's a nice place to be.
It's
so lovely to be here. I'm a big fan, big fan.
Aww.
Yay. First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you for coming. And actually, on that note, which has not been prompted by anyone but Lucy, we need to say, as the first thing of 2019, thank you to everyone that has listened in the last 3 months.
Yeah, thank you. Well done, those people.
Yeah, we don't normally sort of like, we don't open a podcast with saying, you know, thank you and please.
With gratitude.
Yeah, with gratitude.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah.
Who wants to start their year like that?
But genuinely, thank you to our listeners. And can you get us some more, please? So can you share on, rate us on iTunes, tell your friends,
subscribe.
Tweet us, Facebook us. We're writers. We work at home
Instagram,
all day.
Instagram. Well, we just did a video for Instagram,
yeah,
which I enjoyed.
We're on it. We're on it for 2019.
I love Instagram. I'm all about it now. I've been taking pictures of everything.
You've had it from Lucy. Lucy Bloody Porter, Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram. Send us pictures of your cats and...
Glad you said cats.
Yeah. No, well, I don't... I was on a Radio 4 thing recently and I said, in all my innocence, I said, George, you know what? I've never been sent a dick pic. This went out on national radio. And can you solve the mystery of what happened next?
I think I can.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of dicks in the last little while. But anyway, so don't do that. Don't send those.
Do you have a favourite?
Also, can I just say, we were just discussing earlier that the listenership of Radio 4 is over 65.
Yeah. A lot of grey pubes on those pictures.
It's just, they can use a camera phone and we have to respect them. So.
Good on ya. I love how the thank you
to what a lovely
stop
sentiment.
Harassing us, for fuck's sake. Happy New Year.
Lucy, tell us, have you ever been victim of a crime?
Do you know, I have.
Dick pics.
I have been a victim of a crime, and very recently.
Ooh,
it's fresh. Almost like the underworld knew that I was coming onto your podcast. Ooh. That will give us something to talk about. So this is a crime that has happened to me. This is the second time this crime has happened to me.
Ooh.
This specific crime. So I was on the London Underground Tube. Mm-hmm. And I got off, I can't remember which station, but if it comes to me, I'll share it anyway. But I got off the tube and a woman came up to me and said, oh, sorry, just wanted to mention your rucksack's open.
Oh.
And I was so I turned around and looked in my rucksack and I had been the victim of theft.
Wow.
But I am a seasoned Londoner, so I always keep my purse about my person.
Yes.
About so your purse.
My purse is about my person. But what had happened, which was possibly even worse, uh-oh, was that they had obviously mistaken my lovely shiny H&M makeup bag for a purse. And so I had, and this was just before Christmas, and I was on my way to a thing, and they dipped in, and it was, you know, I was like, I know it probably doesn't sound much to a lot of people.
No,
but
it does.
I had been to, so I'd been in John Lewis department store, and I had been seduced by the Chanel lady.
So two crimes happened.
Yeah. Seduction and theft. But yeah, so I had just, not 2 days before, purchased.
Really expensive.
So I really love it. A foundation. It's Vita Lumiere.
Ooh.
It's Chanel. And she put it on me. And I've, you know, I'd had a busy time. I'd been working really hard. And I thought, you know what, lady? You deserve something nice. And I'd
treat
gone
yourself
to Chanel. And I got this foundation, which was like being kissed by a Frenchman. It was lovely. Oh, and it was on my face and it was so nice and that, you know, and it was like 38 quid or whatever.
This is it. You justify this like, I'm going to invest in me.
Yeah.
And you carry around this very expensive compacts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And then someone just take, then, you know, they will have got it out and they would
and just chucked it in the bin.
Unless it was one of those chaps that sort of like hates seeing women put on makeup on the tube.
Oh, yes. He knew exactly what he was doing.
And he was like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I'm going to take away
her. Yeah.
I'm going to save everybody a lot of discomfort. I'm going to save the 2 Daily Mail readers that hate this.
I know, I've been much more, since that whole thing was a thing about putting your makeup on the tube, I do it much more.
100%. Yeah. Loads of people do, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, I've gotten like really gooey lip gloss just in case somebody's offended. I'm like,
Oh, that's another thing I had in my bag as well, was I had another Chanel at the same time. I bought Liquid Honey.
Oh.
Lip gloss. Liquid Honey.
Yeah, that sounds expensive.
It was. It really was.
Is that for eating?
No.
I don't know a lot about makeup, guys. Is it like liquid honey for your face?
It was a lip gloss called Liquid Honey. Yeah,
I bet it's so, I mean, I'm sold. Yeah. They're so clever.
Yeah.
So clever. I'm like going to Google Chanel after this podcast. It's so invasive too. Just like your bag is wide open. Someone's been rooting
gaping
through it. Just gaping.
Yeah.
Gaping
bag. Just being.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I mean, you know, in the great scheme of things, I know it's not a great thing, but it just was. It was just one of those moments where you just think, oh, it's if you know, it, to me it was like the final straw as well of just being, you know, because it was really busy and the tube was all like there. And
so it's like, oh, fuck off.
Just absolutely. It was the, you know,
when
if
you
I
see
was,
people with super glowing skin, are you like, it was you?
Yes, there.
You fucking Lumiere.
The vital Lumiere.
This must be very awkward for you tonight because I've got a big red puffy face from drinking.
And then, well, I ended up, so I couldn't justify replacing it with, you know, light for light. So now what you see on my face tonight is boots. It's not even number 7, it's boots 17. It's the.
Well, you look fabulous.
Thank you, love. I mean, you know, it's not. If I'd been Vita Lumiere'd, I would have walked in and you would have been like, bloody hell. She's a 25-year-old starlet. She's extraordinary. Who's that lady? But yeah, it's really
bloody hell. Because I'm now thinking, like, what do you think? Do you think that person that nicked it was like, okay, this isn't a wallet, I'm just going to purse, I'm just going to get rid of it? Or do you think he sort of popped them on, or
yeah, I mean, I really hope it didn't just go to waste.
You
I
sort
hope
of it do didn't, though, don't
I
you?
Do. I do. I really want that to. I want there to be a lovely, dewy-faced burglar, a dewy-faced mugger.
Like when, because we ask people, like, what would you say if you could, if you were confronted with the burglar now? What would you say to them?
I would say,
your pores are huge.
Look at my broken veins. Look at what you have robbed from me.
Sorry.
It is, it's happened to me once before.
Right. And it was a makeup bag before.
Exactly
too.
The same. Yeah. Exactly. Because they obviously don't know. So I don't think, I mean, I think that they think it's a purse.
It's an opportunist, just quick in and out.
Yeah.
And then look at it later.
You've got to change your makeup bags.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Make it look like a little sack of shit or something.
Well, do you know, for ages, I didn't have a makeup bag and I had like a freezer bag.
Hannah George has spat out her Prosecco.
I'm sorry.
Had a little champagne facial there from Hannah.
Spit tank.
I've never spat my drink over someone before. That is a drunk woman first. Holy shit. I'm so sorry. It's just something about you with a freezer bag on the tube.
Just with a freezer bag.
I now can't read the case because it's covered in Prosecco. I'm so sorry. I saw it. So you know when you've done something, like if you've accidentally spat on someone, which I just did.
God, yeah.
I saw the devils on her jumper. I saw where I got her. I'm so sorry.
At least it wasn't a solid. I've done that where I've actually coughed a bit of food onto someone's. And then you have to sort of go, I'm sorry, I'll just pick that off for you.
There's nothing worse than sneezing Doritos.
Oh, yes.
Really, like very dust. Orange shrapnel. It's bad.
Sorry, tell us more about
so the freezer.
Actually, I imagine that's quite good because you can see everything.
Yes, exactly.
Easy access.
And I just didn't have a makeup bag and I carried it around for quite a long time. And then I was doing a gig, and prepare to hear a clang here.
Ooh.
I was doing a gig with Paloma Faith.
Ah!
Boing. And she said, oh, listen, have you got any lip balm? And I just really, my lips are just really dry. And I went, oh, yeah, sure. And then I got out my freezer bag. On the spur of the moment, I just went, I've been travelling a lot recently, trying to style it out like I've been on the planes. But I think we both knew that it wasn't an airport see-through bag. It
was a
Morrison's branded sandwich bag.
Oh, I think that's good advice, isn't it?
You're keeping it real.
Yeah.
Paloma could learn a thing or two. I have no
idea
what she's
like. She was
very
nice about it, actually.
Yeah. Go, oh, I've changed my mind. I don't need your lip gloss.
No, she's very
But it's liquid
her.
Honey. It's liquid honey.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
I mean, you may think spitting all over the guest on your podcast is a crime, but who wants to hear about the first female serial killer in the USA?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, so today's crime comes to a head exactly 200 years ago, because we're in 2019 now, and this happened in 1819.
Ooh.
So this is the story of Lavinia Fisher, who is credited with being the first female serial killer in America.
And I like that, being credited like this on IMDb.
Yeah. Credits include woman in bar, first female serial killer. Very good. Well done, Lavinia.
Well, quite. So this story is kind of crazy, and there's so many different versions of events, because it's from over 200 years ago, that there's not much we can be sure about. But the one thing we can be sure about Lavinia is something that is mentioned in every article I read about her. What is that?
She had a wooden leg.
Oh, very nice, very left field.
Well, that would be like mentioned. People would be interested
that
in
that. That would be mentioned. All right.
Katie?
I'll see that and I will raise you. She had a glass eye.
Tell again.
Well, everything I read about any woman, they're like, she was very attractive.
Oh, yeah.
Was she a hottie? Yes.
She was a hottie with a glass eye and a wooden leg. No, she wasn't. She was, unfortunately, she wasn't. But yes, yeah, she was a hottie with a body.
Wow. Yes. See? There you go.
It's exactly. So...
Do we know a misogynistic history or what? Yeah.
It's just true. Getting so predictable. It's ridiculous.
I remember the bobhead bandit. Reading about, there was a group of women criminals called the 40 Elephants, who I'm quite interested in.
Ah. Yes.
Who were sort of around Elephant and Castle in the 20s and 30s. And they, you know, all of them, it was like the bobhead bandit, like the most sort of, because it was bobs were in at the time and everyone was getting their hair cut short.
So it had to be related to fashion.
Yeah.
Right.
It is weird how women are just remembered as
victim or perpetrator.
Be a serial killer without being rated for attractiveness.
She may very well not be the first female serial killer in America. She was the first hot serial killer.
Yeah. Right? Because I bet there were women that killed more than three people before 1819 in America.
100%. Although her hotness was kind of relevant to what she sort of got up to. So she resided in the US for much of her life. She was married to John Fisher, and in 1819 both were arrested and the full extent of what they were up to was revealed.
She was the honey trap.
Oh, indeed she was.
Yeah.
So the
was
pair...
his name John and he was a John?
Yeah, right.
Wow.
John Fisher was the name of a Catholic boys' school in Purley.
Still is.
Shout out, guys.
I do hope it wasn't named after this chap. The pair made much of their living operating a hotel called the 6 Mile Wayfarer House, which they managed in the early 1800s. It was on a long and lonely road with no neighbours. So we know we're in America. Anyone want to hazard a guess to whereabouts we are in America? I haven't given you much.
It's got to be like the Wild West or something.
Ooh.
Like,
well, yeah, because we're 18 something, yeah. Aren't we? So it's going to be California or Texas. But it could be.
There's so many long and lonely roads where
Where really? Are you from?
I grew up in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
There's long and lonely roads
lonely
there.
Roads.
Montana.
So these roads were in Charleston, South Carolina.
Southern.
Okay. Yeah. So after the couple opened the 6 Mile House, men who were visiting Charleston began to mysteriously disappear. Huh. Lots of them last being seen at that very hotel. So more and more reports were filed, but there was no evidence that the Fishers were involved. And there was another reason the investigation didn't get any further. What do you think that was?
The men weren't important for some reason.
Ooh. I mean, are men ever not important?
Well, they must have been poor or something. Poor men tend to get less justice than rich men.
True.
But still more than women and minorities.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy?
You're looking true but not relevant is the look that I'm seeing.
Well, then we, I mean...
Is it something to do with the quality of the men then?
No, it was more to do with the quality of her.
Oh,
she was so hot that no one...
This is how hot this woman was.
What? Yeah. Seriously?
Her affirmation. Try and say that when drunk. Hotness. this meant that her husband and her popularity in the town was really high because she was so beautiful and charming.
Wow.
And I love the idea that, like, over many years, all these men start going missing and they were like, they're going missing at that hotel.
With the hottie.
And the police were like... Hot Lavinia? I mean, no. She's standing in the doorway with an axe.
Yeah. She could have any guy she wants. Yeah? I mean, who would be the equivalent? It'd be like, Kate Middleton, wouldn't it? Just being
Untouchable.
She's beautiful. She can't be a killer. Right.
Oh, yeah. That's the twist I want to see in the royal family. Oh, could you imagine? Her and Markle, a couple of serial killers. Yes, please.
That sounds like a mythical sex act to me, the hot Lavinia.
I'll do anything and but the hot Lavinia.
I draw the line.
I'll do a tepid Susan, but a hot Lavinia. I will not. A lukewarm Wendy, yes. I'll have a lukewarm Wendy, but no, it'll be a hot Lavinia.
So men kept disappearing and the locals weren't satisfied by the police's investigation.
Well, because these were strange, random men, not local men.
They were travelling men. They were.
So it's much harder to lock down, that kind of thing.
Very, very true, because people don't necessarily...
Like, or they've left. They've gone to the next town.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So the locals formed a group of vigilantes who went to the Fishers in February 1819. Though it is unknown what they may have said or done, they were obviously satisfied because they came back to Charleston, but they left one thing behind. What was it?
A whole group of men left something behind.
Yeah.
Like a mob justice. They left their...
A torch?
Yeah. Their lit torch that they were going to burn them down with.
I mean, I like it.
But they say they were satisfied. They went, they made
their inquiries. They
left,
but they left one thing behind.
God.
Their dignity. Their shoes.
Well, would you leave? Like a dog. They left a dog that they
every mob needs a good
to,
dog.
Yeah, to report back. Well, did they leave someone? Did they leave a person?
Spot on.
Oh, spy. Yes.
Oh, oh, no.
Detective Porter.
Nice.
Yes. You're getting promoted. Yes.
Yep. It was a man called David Ross who was charged with standing watch in the area.
So he's a honey trap for the honey trap.
Oh, I don't know how much David used his sexy wiles.
No, I mean, like, he's like a little guinea pig to see if he goes missing. But well, is that not what they were trying to do?
From what I can tell, he just sort of like
he
stood outside and watched.
He was just really unpopular and they secretly hated him.
Guys, I love the fact when he volunteered to be bait. He's like, I'll be bait for sexy Lavinia. I'll let her do whatever she wants.
Okay, Dave, you all do right, that. Yeah, here's a picture of tepid Susan for you.
So do you think he's all right? Do you think the Fishers just left him alone?
No. I think David died. I think David's a dead man.
What I think he had a lovely death, though.
Yeah, the smile on his face. Yeah.
Well, they didn't leave him alone. Early the next morning, David Ross was attacked by two men and dragged before a group of men along with Lavinia Fisher.
Gosh.
Yeah. He looked to her for help. And this was a bit where I was like, why did you look to the lady? She's not necessarily going to be any nicer to you. And she wasn't. She choked him and smashed his head through a window.
Oh,
Lavinia. Yeah.
Wow, Lavinia. That wasn't a sexy death at all.
However, it was not a death. Ross managed to escape. And he alerted authorities.
Oh. So there was a group of them.
Yeah, that's nasty.
It was like a kind of, they were a proper gang. There was a proper gang activity going on where, well, I will tell you what they did to people.
No. I don't like it. Little Katie.
Guys, Katie just for the record, Katie does not like this.
No, she doesn't.
You've never said that on any other episode like this time, like, too much.
It was the David. It was David.
It was little David. Little all on David. His own, outnumbered by the gang. Yeah.
Well, mate, wait until you meet John Peoples.
Oh, no.
John who?
John Peoples.
John Peoples.
John Peoples comes in. He's a fur trader. And this happened all at approximately the same time. So they got rid of David Ross. John Peoples.
People's fur. The fur of the people.
Wait, little David Ross escapes and tells the police, and then he's out of the picture but safe.
Uh-oh. Here we are with picture. The little.
Yeah, whenever Katie feels sorry for someone, she always calls them little.
Little David Ross.
I got away from Lavinia. I'm fine now. She choked me and she put me in through a window, but I'm fine now. It wasn't bad, really. I didn't mind. Don't worry, Katie.
I hope that brings you some comfort.
No. It just makes me worry even more.
I'm at peace now, Katie. It's fine.
They're all obviously dead.
Don't torture yourself.
This was a long time ago.
But what happens? Does he come back? Is we done with him now?
We're done with him
He's
for now.
He's reported his story.
He's reported his
story. Is he going to come back?
The authorities are on the case.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The authorities are on the case, but they're not completely on the case. Because little Johnny Peoples, just give me a warning about what's about
Johnny,
to happen.
Johnny the fur Peoples.
Hello, fur I'm little Johnny Peoples.
And he was travelling from Georgia to Charleston and, tired from his long trip, stopped at the 6 Mile House to see if they had a room. So this next part is basically the hustle, and this is what they did to people.
Oh.
So John Peoples was greeted by Lavinia, who told him they didn't have a room available, but won't you come in for tea and a meal? Sure, come on in. So he did. Her company was so pleasant that he ignored Lavinia's husband's odd glances at him and chatted with her. She asked very specific questions. What sort of things do you think she asked?
Who's meeting you at the next town and will they miss you?
Interesting.
Do you have a tender neck? Are you particularly strong? What do you bench press? Do you know little David? Well, you know, how much money have you got?
Yeah. That is spot on.
Yeah.
That's the one that she asked. How much is the furs were worth? How much money he had on him?
Right.
That kind of thing. He was obviously showing off and told her he earns quite a bit. And she excused herself from the table for a moment and she returned with tea and good news.
Ugh.
A room had suddenly...
that doesn't sound good at all.
A room had suddenly become available if John wanted it. He accepted and Lavinia poured him a cup of tea.
Does this mean that if people were poor, there was still no room, they could go on their way? Did they only kill rich people?
Yeah, which is quite a nice twist.
It's kind of a Robin Hood kind of vibe to this.
Rich men, yeah.
Well, with the tea, what do you think she was up to?
I think it's going to be some... arsenic.
Mm-hmm. Sounds plausible to me.
There's poison, or at least the very least a sedative. But guess who didn't like tea?
Oh, brilliant.
John Peoples didn't like tea.
It was bloody John bloody don't like Peoples. Don't like tea, Peoples. It was. So he didn't want to seem impolite. So instead of refusing it or leaving it untouched, he poured it out when she wasn't looking.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So he's great.
Isn't that mad? So he wasn't suspicious until later when she showed him to his room. And obviously he'd had a bit of time away from her tits and he began to wonder why she'd asked him so many questions. Why was her husband staring at him all evening? He realised he'd given away so much information that he was like, oh, fuck, okay. So he goes and sits, I mean...
This is like every time I've stayed at the Premier Inn, though.
Yeah.
I've given you 2 credit cards. I've written my address. Like, what do you think I'm going to do to your purple foot thing?
So instead of sleeping in the bed, he decides to sleep in a chair by the door. And he slept until what happened?
Good for John Peoples.
Broke in.
Yeah, there's some intrusion. Lavinia.
With the gang.
Insinuates herself in.
Yeah.
Because they'll think he's...
The gang of men jump in and attack him in the bed, but he's not in the bed.
Yeah, they think he's unconscious.
Well, this is where it gets a little bit batshit. And so he hears voices outside the bedroom door and a loud clunk. And the middle of the bed gives way. And gives away to a deep hole beneath.
Oh,
no.
My
gosh. Trap door. Trap door under the bed.
Now, this is where it all gets a little bit... What is folklore?
That Sweeney Barber
shop thing.
Exactly. I mean, it's fucking yes. Jonathan Creek. It's like everything.
It is.
And apparently there were loads of human remains and some say spikes coming up through the
wall. Wow. Oh my gosh.
I know. And this is one of those ones where you read it online and people are like, that was not true. And then you're kind of like, but it's kind of cool. But, well, I mean, it's not cool.
And
but
something's true.
Yeah, some part of it is true. And
professionally, as detectives, we can't rule anything out.
No. But there's all sorts of shit about this case where they're like, and the one that sort of comes through is that the floorboards under the bed give way and they'd fall down.
There's, yeah.
And they'd die in this pit. And
what's yeah. amazing about this is like, this isn't ye olde crime, and I can just see Twitter going, didn't happen. Like, yes, it's like so embellished that it feels like a really modern knee-jerk reaction to it.
I mean, but the, you know, it, this is what's so interesting.
Well, they had drawbridges. I mean, the technology.
The engineering existed. So they go, the bed has some kind of trapdoor.
It yeah. feels a little bit lazy. You know what? Like, we have drugs so we can drug the person, but we need to create this elaborate trapdoor system because I just don't want to deal with that body.
But like,
put it in a pit.
Yeah, this way they don't have to carry it downstairs or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many, did this happen, did this not happen? But there was definitely bodies found on their property. So
yeah.
Okay. No one really says where. And this is the thing that everyone's like, yeah, this is the thing that happened. So John, he obviously saw his bed sort of like, you know, go down. So he quickly jumped out of the window, got on his horse. I read somewhere a very detailed thing about the fact that it was a bareback horse and he just jumped on. And like, so he quickly got on a horse and fled to authorities in Charleston. Do you think the police believed him?
Oh, no, because it's so fanciful.
They've already been alerted by little David, whatever his name was.
Yeah, so it's like it's either...
Out of sight, out of mind, Lucy.
Whoever he was, whatever. And I'm all about John Peoples now.
Well, okay, so the police haven't bought any of this up till now because they're like, Lavinia, she's far too attractive.
Well, I'm afraid to say that the police did their bloody jobs and arrested John and Lavinia.
Well, because it's stacking up too. That's the thing. We're on the tipping point.
Yeah. And they arrested two men that they had been operating with. Very little that I could find out about these other two men. But the 6 mile Wayfarer house was thoroughly searched and the grounds dug up. Filled, this is the thing again, is this true? But one place said it's filled with hidden passages and the sheriff reportedly found items that could be traced to dozens of travellers. Mm. A tea laced with a herb that could put someone to sleep for hours. A mechanism that could be triggered to open the floorboards beneath the bed, and in the basement, as many as 100 sets of remains.
Whoa.
Now, lots of people dispute this. It feels like it does, like I say, veer into folklore. But shit certainly went down in this house. There was definitely some bodies found. So bearing in mind, at the very least, 3 bodies were found.
Yeah.
Do you think they pleaded guilty?
The bodies?
Hot Lavinia and her husband.
Yeah,
I think they were too concerned about their TripAdvisor rating. And they were like, let's just style this one out. People never, you know, people don't really.
Great food, warm company, didn't like the murder.
Well, also,
we came for my son's birthday. And whilst we had a marvellous time in many respects, his untimely demise somewhat ruined the trip.
Yes.
3.5 stars. Yeah.
Overcooked the bacon.
They pleaded not guilty.
Wow.
But
they are used to getting away with things.
Yeah, it's still called the Hart Lavinia defense.
But were ordered to stay in jail until their trial. In the meantime, their co-conspirators, who again we don't know much about, were released on bail.
Hot. Not
the ugly conspirators.
The ones that wouldn't sell papers.
Yeah. So do you think Hot Lavinia and John were found guilty?
I kind of feel like it could go that she gets away with it.
Ooh.
And then he doesn't. Because everyone's so charmed by her.
Or vice versa. Because
because it's awful if a woman does something.
When a woman does it, it's much worse, and she must have been
the devil,
the driving force, or whatever.
There's a lot of evidence there,
and it's like if there's up to 100 bodies, they could have been doing this for years before anyone even got suspicious.
Mm.
Like, it's so mad, isn't it? That you just think, well, yeah, how many people have to not come out of that hotel?
Yeah.
But then, like you say, they're all travellers.
There's no one. They could have got lost anywhere.
Yeah. Also, the kicker is she's only 27.
What?
I know.
Okay.
They were convicted of, in history, the official history is they were convicted of highway robbery.
Oh. murder.
So it wasn't, weren't convicted of murder, which is interesting. Because people say she's the first serial killer, but they're like, oh, she may not have murdered anyone.
But what, how did the bones get there, police?
Well, this is the thing. But also, highway robbery is a capital... them. It's a capital punishment. So it was like, they're going to get hung, so we've got them, essentially.
Oh, right. So they didn't have to bother to try to prove anything stronger.
No, not really. So they were sentenced to hang. However, they were given time to appeal. And because they were a husband and wife, they were like, jailed together in the same room.
Wow.
That's quite funny. Wow.
Yeah. So, apart from, obviously, in these weeks that they were jailed together, apart from Bone, what do you think they did?
Construct a story that would implicate the two not hot guys.
Was there a poster of Raquel Welsh on the...
Oh god, did they escape?
It was a bit of a Shawshank. So the jail, for some reason, wasn't heavily guarded, and on September the 13th they put their plan into action and used a rope made of bed linen and climbed out of the window. So John goes first, uses the linen,
and
drops...
this is when bars were put on windows in 1919. The day.
Exactly. And he dropped to the ground, but the linen snapped.
Ooh.
So
twist.
Lavinia is up top, trapped in the cell. Uh-huh. John is on the floor. What do you think he does?
He runs.
He goes, jump, I'll catch you.
Oh, nice.
That's romantic. I think he runs.
Or he throws the sheet back up so she can...
breaks back in to the jail.
Oh, yeah, creates a distraction. Free. Starts a fire.
Well, guys, I mean, it's kind of... he just went back round the front and just said, I've escaped, but it's not worked.
He didn't want to escape.
He didn't want to escape without her.
Oh,
isn't that lovely?
How hot she was.
Wow.
This is pre-photography, but are there any... I just really want to see hot Lavinia now.
There's some kind of paintings and stuff, but who knows if it was actually her.
Yeah.
So they went back into jail and they were kept under tighter security. So in February in 1820, the Constitutional Court rejected their appeal and their execution was scheduled for later that month. A local minister named Reverend Richard Furman...
I'm sorry.
What?
I just had like a late... laugh of him just like walking back around. That is exactly what my husband would do.
Oh, that is
so sweet. It really is. He'd be like, I'm really sorry.
This is a bit embarrassing.
We had a whole thing.
Yeah. You have to ask yourself about your relationship.
Would your partner come back to the jail for you?
Yeah. Oh, he totally would. That's so sweet.
I don't think mine would.
I'm not confident mine would. I mean, I suspect.
He'd be like, I've got to be pragmatic about this. One of us will be fine.
I mean, I wouldn't go.
We've
back got
to think of the
for
podcast.
Him, I don't think. I would. It's a tricky one, isn't it?
It's hard to put yourself in someone else's shoes that is also a serial killer.
Yes.
So a local minister named Reverend Richard Furman was sent in to counsel the pair if they so wished. Do you think they found God at this point?
Yes.
They'll say they did because it might get them more lenient security and they can break out again.
Nice. Well, apparently John begged the priest to save his soul, if not his life. Lavinia would have nothing to do with
it. Ooh.
That. Yeah, she was like,
stone cold.
So on the morning of February 18th, 1820, the Fishers were taken from the Charleston jail to be hung on the gallows behind the building. John Fisher went quietly praying with the minister whom he had asked to read a letter before the crowd.
Mm.
Now, guess how many people were watching in this crowd? Like, bearing in mind it's 1820 and, you know...
A small town.
It's no Netflix.
Yeah.
not a lot going on.
200. Maybe people.
1,000.
Maybe it was. Maybe it was a famous case, and people came.
Taylor was spot on with a couple of thousand.
Okay,
2,000 over 2,000 people. And what do you think John's letter said?
Lavinia was so hot.
See that? I've tapped that.
Well, it can't have been a full confession because then we would know more about the crimes. So, Maybe it's a protestation of innocence. He blames it all on her. He blames it all on her.
Well, it's interesting. He doesn't do that, but it is a protestation of innocence. He said,
dear God, I should have run.
Yeah.
When the linens broke.
What I love about this is it insisted on his innocence and asked for mercy for those that had done him wrong in the judicial process.
Oh. Oh.
This is so funny.
Like shade.
Yeah, isn't it?
Passive aggressive.
Hope you can live with what you've done to me, guys. Yeah.
I just hope that one day you're not judged like you've wrongfully judged me.
Yeah,
yeah, forget about the bodies in the house and stuff. But so he then began to verbally plead his case before the gathered crowd. And before he was hung, he asked for their forgiveness.
Ooh.
So do you think Lavinia went as quietly?
No.
She probably set a plague on both your houses or something.
Yeah.
I want to know what she was wearing when she was gone.
Do you know what? This is where the, yeah, more potential folklore comes in. But also, it is kind of well documented that she wore her wedding dress.
Oh.
Who let her do that? Like, what the fuck?
Whether or not it's true, we
do
not know.
Who is indulging these psychopaths in this degree?
The Charleston police are not coming out well from this at all.
Also, that's such a thing of hers. As well, like, and I still fit in my wedding dress.
Yes,
it's so hot.
I mean, it is. You do always think it's a waste just for the one day, isn't it?
So, yeah. Might as well wear it again.
If I have another special occasion, I'm definitely going to crack this out. Yeah.
And this was that day, apparently. Yeah. Apparently, she refused to walk to the gallows, so she had to be picked up and carried as she ranted and raved.
Oh my God.
At the crowd.
Diva.
Yeah, ooh, well.
She ranted and raved.
Yeah, particularly at the Charleston socialites who she blamed for encouraging a conviction. So who knows what was really going on?
This is all to annoy the girls that bullied her at school.
I mean, 100%, 100%. Before her executioners could tighten the noose around her neck, she yelled into the crowd, any guesses on her last words?
Fuck you all.
I mean, it's very similar.
It's gone very carry, hasn't it?
You'd all still bang me even after I'm dead.
Yeah.
Something about, I don't know.
Say goodbye to this hot ass because you're never going to see it again.
Say bye-bye to hot Lavinia.
She said, if you have a message you want to send to hell, give it to me, I'll carry it.
Yes!
Oh!
Oh! Send a message to hell. What was it? Tell me the exact...
If you have a message you want to send to hell, give it to me, I'll carry it.
Yes.
Then,
I love how history gets rewritten.
I mean,
reality was probably like,
it's like, ah! Yeah, I mean, I read a few different versions, but it was all about hell.
My wedding dress is just a sheet, but I took my looks for granted.
Apparently, before they could finish the job, she jumped off the gallows herself.
Yeah, that's her. That's typical Lavinia.
She's got the bloody last word. Let's hear it for hot Lavinia.
Cheers!
Lavinia.
Wow.
And to a lesser extent, John. He was in the story too.
Everyone ever described him.
John. Oh, John.
Drunk women solving crime.
So, to finish up this episode, we have a listener crime. And this is a bit more of a story than a crime to solve, but it's pretty good. This was sent to us by Rachel from America on Facebook. So, Rachel, I'd like to thank you for sending this in. So she says, and I quote, when I was 8, me, my mum, my dad, my brother and my sister went camping. Totally normal for us. We drove to the campground, in brackets. Important note here, my parents preferred less commercialised sites, as my father calls them. Close brackets.
Yeah, my father preferred less commercialised. Brackets cheaper, close brackets.
Yeah.
Brackets not actually official campsite.
Yeah.
But just somebody's field that he hoped they wouldn't notice, close brackets.
I think you and Rachel, have a lot in common.
I had a similar childhood, Rachel.
We're all picturing it.
Yeah.
And they set up their tent. We were all driving my mum insane while she was making the dinner. So Dad took us to explore the woods around our campsite. I was walking ahead and the following happened. Me, hey, there's a boot over here. Dad, okay, we'll pack it out with us, but leave it and let me get it. Me, keeps walking towards it. Hey, there's pants too.
Uh-oh.
Rachel. Dad, what? Me. I think you should come over here. Dad. Why? Just leave it wherever it's there. Oh, no. Me. Okay, but I'm pretty sure it's a dead guy, so you might want to look.
Oh my god. How old was Rachel at this point, do you know?
Well, she was, in the conversation we had with her, she was 8.
Oh, she's 8?
Oh, yeah.
Rachel.
And she spent cue my parents freaking out and herding us kids into the car and calling the cops, because indeed it was a dead body. Yeah. Apparently a dead body that had been murdered within the last 24 hours. And instead of heading home after talking to the cops, we just went to another campsite.
Wow. That's like never camping again after that story. The killer could have even been watching you find the body. Yes. Less than 24 hours. Ooh. That is not safe.
Guys, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have taken you camping in Newark. We're not going to do this again.
Then they checked into a hotel and the proprietor was one hot Lavinia.
Oh my God, no one's ever going to go on holiday again.
Yeah, listen to this.
You should have done this as a summer special. They should
have been two separate ones. It's like never say no. Oh, yeah. I'll just go outside. No, I'll go to a hotel. No, 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 we're safe ever again. It's January and I'm staying in forever.
Yeah, to this day, apparently they call it the Dead Body Campground.
Well, at least that makes it sound like it only happened once.
Although, Rachel then goes on to say, a few years later, an escaped murderer was hiding in our forest. We had about 5 acres, and three or so was woods. And we had no idea until a helicopter and cops stormed our yard. When I tried to wake my parents up to tell them there was a helicopter over our house and a bunch of cops, they spent a good 5 minutes telling me to stop being so dramatic.
Typical Rachel. Parents.
Yeah, like you found the dead body once.
Yeah. Yeah, stop going on about it.
She says, I'm pretty sure it wasn't the same guy who killed the guy on the dead body campground.
But they never found the murderer for
dot,
that one.
Dot, dot, dot. I'm not sure. Ooh, and then she ended her email. Anyway, thought you guys might get a kick out of that.
Rachel, we've been kicked.
And we said, we emailed back to Rachel and said, this is amazing. Do you mind us sort of using it? And she was like, sure, it's hilarious now. So, does anyone have any sort of...
Rachel, you are so brave. I wouldn't want to stay there anymore. It's so scary.
I know.
She would become the friend you don't want to hang out with. That's the problem. Because you'd be like, these things happen in threes.
Yeah. I mean, I've never liked camping anyway, so thank you.
I'm
Rachel.
Not a fan. Yeah,
absolutely confirming that in me. Oh,
yeah. I guess the obvious way to solve this is it was Rachel.
Hey, come on,
Rachel. I'm just
Don't
kidding.
Start accusing our fans.
Rachel will find that funny. Come on, she'll get
Rachel's
a kick
on
out
a
of
plane
that.
Over here now. With pictures of all of us and where we live.
We did say, do you mind if we use it? And she was like, my parents were like, whatever, you're 8, what do you know? And I was such little shit as a kid. I was like, fine, whatever, but it really is a dead guy. Which I love.
Actually, probably at 8, you're not phased. I mean, it's actually the perfect age to find a dead body.
Yeah,
it is.
It's way less traumatising than if you're older and understand more of the implications. Yeah.
All of my parenting books said that. They're like...
If you're going to introduce your child to a dead body, 8.
Yeah, 8.
Is the age.
10 max. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I think we'll say cheers to Rachel for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel.
Before we go, Lucy, do you have anything to plug? Tell us what you're up to.
Oh, I'm not doing anything at all. No, there's nothing. I'm doing a podcast as well.
Cool.
And it's called Fingers on Buzzers with the lovely Jenny Ryan, who's off of The Chase on ITV.
Very nice.
Excellent.
So anyone who's at all interested in quizzes, general knowledge, anything like that.
Is it a quiz?
There are quizzes within it.
Okay.
We reminisce about famous quizzes.
Okay.
Internationally. I'm looking at Taylor going international. And then we have our lovely... listeners, rather than sending in stories of dead people they've found, they simply have to set a few general knowledge questions. I feel the bar is somewhat lower with our podcast than yours, but yes. So, if you like solving not only murders, but quizzes also. I think it's a very similar demographic, isn't it?
Is that kind of, this is a
puzzle
kind of
show, really.
It's
analytical brain.
Yeah, working it out.
Thank you, Liz Ball!
Thank you so much!
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman, with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.